Today we're going to be looking at the issue of hope. So I wonder this morning how hopeful you all are. Are you feeling hopeful or hopeless? I know some of you have probably had some bad news recently with your football team, whatever it may be, not doing so well. Probably you're not feeling too good, but there is hope, isn't there? In football, they always say, well, next year, anyway. I think without hope, then we probably wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. Without hope, we're nothing. All of us have hopes and dreams. Some of those dreams might be unrealistic at times. Others might have dreams that have been shattered. But without hope, there's really no reason to live. And sadly, some people have actually come to that conclusion that life is hopeless and they've decided to end it all. So, what is your hope? One of the best ways, I think, of working out what our hope is to identify what we tend to think about the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning. What normally gets you excited to get out of bed in the morning? Or maybe it's something that you always think about while you're going to sleep at night, and maybe it even appears in your dreams. Maybe that's what your hope is focused on. Now, traditionally in Australia, for a lot of kids growing up, hope is connected to sporting success or academic achievement. I don't know if that describes you. There's nothing actually wrong with seeking to better ourselves, either physically or mentally. But if it's only for this life, it's basically just filling out time before eternal destruction comes. As a young kid, I grew up playing soccer, cricket, and tennis. I was also not too bad at swimming. A lot of my hopes growing up were connected with sport. But from the eternal perspective, what does it matter if you can run 100 metres in under 10 seconds or not? What difference does it make to your eternal destiny if you can run as fast as Usain Bolt? Now, I'm glad that God eventually helped me to keep things in perspective. I remember once when a few of my friends were at my place, and for some reason the issue of sport came up in conversation. One of my best friends from school happened to be there on the day, and he was a sports addict. Even worse than me, I would say. But he almost fell off his chair when I said, in the end, sport's just an organised waste of time. I don't know if you agree with that statement, but whether it be sport, academic achievement, a good job, lots of money, or meeting the love of your life, in the end, if all we have ahead of us is getting old and dying, what's the use? It's all really just a waste of time. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, acknowledges that physical training has some value in this life. It actually does promote bodily health. But physical training can't beat godliness. Physical training can't help you in the life to come. But spiritual training and godliness have benefit both for the present life as well as for the life to come. According to Paul, what we need is life. We need true life. We need life in all its fullness, which ultimately must also be a life that never ends. And friends, that is why the Christian gospel is so important. The gospel centers on the person and achievements of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, God incarnate. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, was buried, 3 days later risen and seen by many. It's quite clear that a key part of the gospel message is the idea that Jesus was risen from the dead. The fact of Jesus' resurrection stands at the heart of what we believe. So if the Christian gospel so clearly proclaims that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, how is it that the concept of resurrection isn't at the forefront of our hopes and dreams? Sadly, some Christians, infected by a warped view of science, don't believe in the possibility of bodily resurrection. How such people can call themselves Christians, I'm not really sure. But even in Paul's day, we see some Christians who didn't believe in resurrection. Now, I acknowledge it is hard to get our heads around the idea of coming back to life again after our bodies have already rotted in the grave. But Christianity cannot exist without the reality of resurrection. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has Christ been raised. If resurrection is impossible, then the story of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is simply a lie or fiction. If Christ wasn't raised from the dead, this is actually very problematic for the Christian message. In fact, Paul identifies in our passage today six negative implications from the proposition that Jesus was never raised. And we can see these things. Firstly, in verse 14, Paul says that if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is also in vain. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then the Christian gospel is powerless. And promoting the Christian gospel is a waste of time and energy. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then what am I doing standing up here talking to you about Christian things? It's a waste of time. If the resurrection of Jesus isn't true, then the Christian message has no substance whatsoever. Secondly, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, then faith in that gospel is also in vain. If the gospel has no substance, then why believe in it? If the gospel has no substance, then faith in that gospel also has no substance. In other words, if there's no such thing as resurrection, why come to church? Why be a Christian? Why not join another religion or become an atheist? You may as well do so, because if the resurrection of Jesus is a falsehood, Christian faith is totally useless. Thirdly, if Christ hasn't been raised, anyone who goes out preaching the gospel is actually setting themselves up as testifying falsehoods about God. When preaching the gospel, if we're saying that God has raised Jesus from the dead, but that never really happened, then we're basically just telling lies about God. We're misrepresenting what he's done in history. And in the end, God will deal with anyone who testifies falsely about him. There's a fourth problem. If Christ hasn't been raised, then our faith is without substance, which means that we are still in our sins. Now remember what Paul said about the gospel in verses 1 to 11. Paul defines the gospel as being Christ, dead, buried, risen, seen. Paul says back in verse 3 that Christ died. Why did he die? He died for our sins. Jesus going to the cross was in order to pay the penalty for our transgressions. But if Jesus died and simply stayed in the grave, what does that mean? If Jesus died and there's no resurrection, no coming back to life again, well, that means either that our sins are still being paid for, or else that Jesus' sacrifice has been ineffective. Either way, we're still in our sins. In the light of this, hopefully we can see why Jesus rising from the dead is so significant. The fact that Jesus did rise from the dead means that God has accepted His sacrifice for our sins. It means that Jesus was successful in paying the penalty for our sins. But if his resurrection didn't happen, then there's no solution to the problem of human sin. In the end, a price needs to be paid. A price commensurate with the sins that have been committed. If there is no perfect human sacrifice, then we are still in our sins. Which leads us to the fifth problem that Paul identifies. This also flows from the idea that there's no such thing as resurrection. If that's true, then we see in verse 18, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, then those who have gone to sleep in Christ have also perished. If Christ hasn't been raised and we're still in our sins, then there's no way that we can ever live in close proximity to a holy God and experience the blessing of eternal life in his presence. If sins haven't been paid for, there's no way that we can have a close relationship with God. And so this means that every Christian who has died is dead and buried and will stay that way. If we're still in our sins when we die, we won't go to heaven. Instead, we'll be going the totally opposite direction, to hell. Instead of living in close proximity to God, if we're still in our sins when we die, then we'll be sent far from him. And this applies to those Christians who have already died and also to those, like us, who will presumably die at some point in the future. So, in other words, Paul is saying that if the resurrection of Jesus isn't true, there's no such thing as eternal life for those who have placed their hope in Jesus. Now, as Christians, we believe, we place our hope in the fact that Jesus can give us eternal life. But if he wasn't resurrected from the dead, he's still in the grave himself. There's no guarantee that we will experience eternal life. And this brings us to the sixth and final negative implication, which stems from the supposition that there's no such thing as resurrection. If we Christians have placed our hope in Jesus for the blessing of eternal life, but if such hope for life only applies to this current life that we're living and not also to the life to come after death, then we Christians are the most pitiful, Paul says, of anyone living on this planet. If resurrection isn't true, the hope that we have in Jesus for eternal life will prove to be a massive disappointment. In fact, we can say that if the resurrection of Jesus isn't true, then the Christian gospel must be one of the worst deceptions that has been perpetrated on the human race. There's almost nothing worse than having your hopes built up only to have them smashed against the rocks of reality. So if the Christian gospel is just building up people's hopes in the end for nothing to be there, that's a terrible deception, isn't it? To sum up then, what Paul is saying, he's saying basically, without the reality of resurrection, there's no gospel, no faith, no truth, no forgiveness, no salvation, no hope. Hopefully you agree with me in saying that it's a good thing then that Christ has been raised from the dead. Without his resurrection, everything is just a waste of time, a delaying of the time of execution. So what do you think? In your way of looking at things, is the resurrection of Jesus the only real hope for our pitiful world? If that's the case, then why is the concept of resurrection so far down on the list of things that we think about? Why isn't it at the forefront of the things that we dream about? Why do we as human beings, even Christians, use so much time and energy pursuing the things of this world that count for little when it comes to eternal life? And it's something that we see all around us. One thing that comes to my mind and which makes me chuckle to myself whenever I see things like this are the ads that you see in the newspapers or sometimes on TV about financial advice that people offer. And so much of it seems to be designed with a view to having X amount of dollars by the time that you retire so that you can live the kind of life you want to in your retirement. It's like we slave away or get our finances in order while we're younger so that when we're old, we can enjoy life before carking it. Is that all we've got to look forward to? Being able to travel to Europe in our retirement with enough left over for a nice retirement unit and a wonderful funeral? Is that all we've got to look forward to in life? Is that the human condition? Is that what people are living for? Their retirement? It's pretty ridiculous, really, when you think about it. If that's all we're doing, then all we're doing is filling up our time trying to make ourselves feel happy until death inevitably ends it all. As if they're saying, no retirement, no hope. But honestly, if all you have to live for is the hope of a nice retirement, there's got to be more to life than that, surely. Instead of no retirement, no hope, it should be no resurrection, no hope. That's what the Christian gospel tells us. Without the reality of resurrection, there's no hope whatsoever. So thanks be to God that that isn't the case. The gospel tells us that Jesus indeed is risen from the dead. And because of his resurrection, we have a true hope, the hope of the fullness of life eternal. As you grow up and as you live your life, what is it that you have placed your hope in? I hope that it is the fullness of resurrection life through Jesus. If it's not that, your life is basically, it's just a waste of time, really. You're just filling up space, filling up time before the day of execution. The only hope for life is the resurrection of Jesus and the gospel of the risen Lord.